Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verses 18 and 19 once again. Verse 18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." You know, when we get irritated, it's always easier to let it go than to talk it through. You know, when there's tension in a family, especially between a husband and wife, and you've had a little bit of a spat, it's a whole lot easier to just kind of push it aside and let's just forget about it. Let's not work it through. But you know, that is much like getting a bad cut. I don't know how many of you ever got a bad cut. Probably most of us have once in a while in our lives. And it gets dirt in it and it hurts. And you say, well, we need to clean it out. Oh, no, I don't want you to clean it out. It hurts. If you leave it without cleaning out, what's going to happen? It's going to get infected in it, and then it's going to get really messy and very painful to clean out. It's far better to clean it out right away, get the pain over with, get it back on the road to healing, and things will get much better quickly. And so the same is true in our marriages, in our homes, to make sure that we deal with the issues right away and don't let them sit there and infect and get worse. We need to make sure that we deal with our irritations right away. Now, 2 weeks ago, we saw how that the wife's role is to be a type of the church, and how the church is to submit to Christ and to respect Him. All right, so the church is to submit to Christ and respect Him, and so a wife, her responsibility is to submit to her husband and to show him respect. The husband's role, however, is a type of Christ, and as a type of Christ, as men, we have a big responsibility of loving our wives as Christ loves the church in a sacrificial way and to lead her as Christ leads us. And that is a huge responsibility. And with both of our tasks, whether the women or the men, we both struggle sometimes with bitterness because things aren't going our way and our spouse isn't doing what they're supposed to do and they're not pulling their share of the way, or maybe they're getting a little bit cross or irritated with us, and there's the bitterness that wells up inside, and that is so common. God addresses the men particularly here because the men are to be the leaders in the home. But it doesn't mean that you ladies don't struggle with bitterness too, and I know that that is a fact, that there is a lot of times there can be bitterness on both sides because things aren't going the way they should be. And last week we began looking at God's command, be not bitter against your wives. We began looking at that. We identified two of the steps to help us to conquer bitterness. And we were halfway through the second step. And we were looking, the first step we looked at was to identify the seeds of bitterness in her heart. We identified those seeds of bitterness, and we need to be able to understand what bitterness is before we can identify it. We talked about that a little bit. And then how we need to then consciously identify those irritations. Make a list of them. Because it's helpful to, we got to get rid of those, and if we don't identify what they are, we don't really even know what we're attacking. You know, it's like going out into your garden to pull weeds, and you're not sure which ones are weeds and which ones are plants. You know, some people that aren't real gardeners, they're kind of ignorant about that. And so they go out there and start pulling weeds, and they end up pulling plants. Well, you got to know which is which. And so we need to consciously make a list. These are the things that are irritants. These are the things that are bothering. Now, then we said the second step in conquering the bitterness is to remove all the roots of bitterness from our heart. So we need to get those roots of bitterness out of our heart. And we suggested some tools that can help us. The first tool we looked at was confession. We need to come to God and say, God, I've got a problem. I am bitter in my heart because my spouse did this. And that has made me bitter in my heart. And we got to admit it. You know, if we don't admit we've got a problem, we'll never address the problem. That's just the way it is in life. You will never fix a problem that you don't admit that is there. And sometimes God has to make things painful for us to admit that there's an issue. You know, I don't know how many times I've gotten little slivers in my hand, and I didn't even know it at the time. You know, you just start working, you get a little sliver of wood or a thorn or something in your finger, and you don't even realize it. But later on, what's God do? He reminds us. It starts getting inflamed. You say, whoa, what's wrong? My finger doesn't feel good. And you look at it, oh, it's all red. And you, oh, look at that. There's that little black spot. And yeah, I got a sliver in there. And you didn't even know until God reminded us of it. And so the confession is saying, God, I've got a problem. And I need to deal with the problem. And so we admit it to God and we deal with it with God. But then also we talked about the second tool was to have love for our spouse. And genuine love will cover a multitude of sins. There's a lot of those problems, those irritations that we really just need to overlook. We really need to just say, you know, that's not important. And I love her too much to worry about that little petty thing. I can push the drawer in. I can pick the towel up. I can handle these little things, you know, just because she does that and she does it over and again. She knows I don't like it, but she's not trying to be bad. I can overlook that. I can forgive her. And love needs to cover a lot of that, and we talked about that. But now we're looking at the third tool this morning, and that tool is communication. Communication is very, very important. We need to communicate about the problem. If you don't talk about the problem, you're not going to get it solved. You're not going to be able to resolve it. Now, Jesus actually tells us this in another context in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. There in Matthew 18, 15, Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now, that wasn't a marriage context, but the same thing is true in our marriages. He said, if there's an offense, you need to go to the person who offended you and say, "Listen, we need to have a talk. What you did, what you said offended me, and we need to work through this and get it sorted out." That is our responsibility. And yet that is something none of us like doing. I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I don't like doing that. I don't like getting in somebody's face and saying, "Listen, we've got an issue here we've got to deal with." Doesn't matter whether it's my wife or whether it's you. I don't like getting in front of somebody and saying, "You know, there's a problem here we've got to work on." That's no fun. But it's just like ignoring the sore with the dirt in it. We've got to do it, even though it's no fun, and even though it hurts, we've got to do it. And so the communication, God says here, if there's an offense, you've got to go see them. And so an important part of pulling out the roots in our hearts is to talk with our wife about the irritations that cause bitterness. That's never enjoyable. It's never fun, but we need to do it. Now, we're talking about not all of the offenses. Remember, some of them we were able to just say, it's no big deal. I can cover that with love. You know, she leaves the drawer out. She squeezes the toothpaste in the wrong place. It's no big deal. I love her. It's all right. We'll get used to that. It'll be okay. But there's some things that need to be dealt with that just can't be overlooked. Some things that just, no matter how hard you try to just forget it, it doesn't go away. Those are things you need to talk about. They need to be dealt with. And it's not an easy thing. Stephen Cole, a commentator, made this statement, and let me quote. It's a little bit of a longer paragraph here, but I'm going to quote it from him. He says, "As a couple, you may need to talk honestly about the unfulfilled expectations that you both are dealing with. Some of these are valid shortcomings that each of you can work on. But some may be personality differences that aren't going to change even with spiritual growth." Now, that's an important fact, he says there. Now, I haven't finished this quote. Let me just stop for a moment. You know, there are some things about that irritate us about each other that are just personality things that you can't do anything about. That's just the way they are. And I'm not saying, you know, the things that they could change, but things that they've always been that way. That's the way God made them, you know. It may irritate you that, you know, your wife is so short. Or, you know, why don't you grow up? Well, she can do about that. She can't do anything about that. She can't change that. All right? So there's things of that nature that we need to overlook. They're personality differences. And then he goes on and he says, that's where mutual acceptance comes into play. If you don't face these disappointed expectations and deal with them God's way, they can turn into angry demands that will drive you apart, end quote. And so there is a need. There is a need to deal with these things God's way. Now, if you've been holding back your bitterness and keeping it in your heart for a long period of time, it's possible that your spouse doesn't even know. You know? I mean, if you're a good cover-upper and you just, did it again. But you don't say anything. You try to be nice and just try. But it's still irritating you deep down inside. They may not even know. You may need to go to your wife and just say, "Sweetheart, you know, we need to talk about something that's been irritating me." And she doesn't even know. But it's important you deal with it, bring it out. And as you talk to her about these irritations, it's important to get it out. Why? So you can deal with it and resolve it and work through it. You know, I truly believe that bitter couples generally have poor communication skills, and that makes it hard. with poor communication skills and not able to communicate with one another, you're going to have a harder time dealing with bitterness. Because we need to learn to communicate with each other. We need to learn to talk to each other. We need to learn to share our thoughts with each other. And, you know, communication is a two-way street. You know, you can talk to the piano, but the piano's not going to talk back to you. And, you know, I can talk to my dog, and she doesn't talk back to me. She may wag her tail. She may lick me, but she doesn't talk back to me. All right? But in a communication in our marriage, we really need two-way communication to make it work. And that's hard. If you don't have that two-way communication, that's a real struggle, and you need to really work and pray toward that end. But let me give you 12 suggestions that can help you in communicating with your spouse when it comes to dealing with bitterness. Number one, before you arrange to talk, read your list of irritations. If any of those irritations were ways that God created your wife, you know, like she's slow moving, maybe she's poor with directions. My poor wife, she can't find directions good. I mean, she can read signs, but you tell her to go someplace and she just has a hard time with that. That's not her fault. That's just the way she grew up. That's the way she is. That's part of her makeup, where I have kind of a natural instinct. And I know, oh, yeah, we live over that direction. If you ask her which way, we just, somewhere. You know, different people are different. All right? Those kind of things we need to overlook. We can't let them kind of things irritate us because there's nothing they can do to change that. And so those are the kind of things that we need to overlook and just get off of our list. But she may never be able to change those kind of things. But we need to be careful not to be unreasonable. Now, personally, cross off those irritations that God can help you overcome. So you got your list, and you just go down the list, and you say, that one I can deal with. God will help me with that one. I can love her through that one, that one, that one, that one. Oh, that one. Oh boy, that one's going to take some work. No, I can't cross off. And you just go down your list. And whatever you got left on your list, that'll be an abbreviated list of things that you need to talk about. Those are the things that you need to deal with, and you need to discuss with your spouse. All right? So that's the first thing. Number two is to choose a time when she is free and ask her if you can have a talk with her about something that's troubled her. And that's important. Us guys are not very good sometimes about observing when's a good time. Now, I've learned over the years that just before a meal is not a good time to try to talk to my wife. She's scurrying about, her mind's all buzzing about what's going to put on the table and what she's cooking and whether it's going to get done. And all those things are buzzing through her mind. And I come to her and say, can we talk about this? Oh, not now. You know, that's not a good time. All right? And so you just need to find her times and get to know her so you know when is a good time and when is a bad time, because there's sometimes it just aren't very good. And there's maybe never seems to be a really good time to talk about these kind of things, but you need to find a time when it's not an irritating time or a time. And another time, it's probably not the best time is right before bed. You ever, you know, and I can give you all a tip. If you got to call the preacher about a problem, call me early in the day. Don't call me at 9 at night. All right? And the reason, and if you have to call me at 9 at night, all right, fine, call me at 9 at night. But, you know, what happens is I get all stirred up inside, and then I try to sleep. Forget it. You can't sleep. You lay there for hours and hours and hours with the whole thing going over and over and over in your mind. Well, it's the same thing as a couple. You have a spat just before bed, and you're going to lay there for hours with it going over and over your mind. I could have said it that way. I should have done this. Oh, this went wrong. And it's going to go over and over in your mind. So choose a time that is right. All right. Look for a good time, a time that'll suit. And you know your own circumstances and things. So work through that. So that's number two. Number three, pray before you begin. Pray before you begin. Now, ideally, if your spouse is a Christian and walking with God, pray together with your spouse. That's the best. Just say, sweetheart, can we just have a word of prayer before? I want to share some things with you. You know, you've not been wicked or anything like that, but we just need to talk about some things that are bothering me, and I want us to pray about it. All right? And if your spouse is not a Christian or you can't, you know, pray with them, then pray on your own about that. Number four, speak to her kindly and tenderly. Remember Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We need to use kindness. We won't make it very far if we come in, you know, raging like a bull and we're trying to, you know, we got to have us talk and, you know, you've really bugged me and I'm just, and, you know, you come in like that, you're probably not going to make very good progress. So we need to be kind and tender. really what we need to do. Remember what the Lord said? He said that we are to, well, this is the paraphrase of Matthew 7:12. The paraphrase is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's a good thing for us to remember. If we'll treat our spouse like we would like to be treated, and if it was turned around the other way, we'll be miles ahead. All right? That's the best way to go. All right? Now, number five. Start by confessing to her that you've been bitter about some things that she's done and admit you're wrong. Now, that's the best place to start. It's never best to start saying, you did this and you did that and you did this and all these things really bug me. No, if we'll come out and we'll start out the right way and say, you know, there's some things that I have been bitter about, and that is wrong. God says that husbands are not to be bitter toward their wife. And sweetheart, I've been bitter toward you, and I'm really sorry. And I want to talk to you about some of those things because I've sorted out a lot of them. But there's some I just need to talk to you about. But I'm sorry, and I was wrong. And it's wrong for me to be bitter. And I don't want to be bitter. And I want to get rid of that bitterness. And so we deal with that right there. We start by confessing our wrong. Number six, tell her that you have already asked God to forgive you and dealt with the bitterness in your heart with God. So that she knows that you are genuine. You've already talked to God about it. You're working it out with God. But you need to talk to her about some of these things. So you've already dealt with those things. Number seven. Gently tell her what has been bothering you. You know, discuss those irritations one at a time. Just start on your list of this few things that are still on your list and just say, you know, this is one of those areas where I need your help. Because I've asked God to forgive me, and I know that it's wrong for me to be bitter, but you know, I'm struggling to get over this issue because we got to deal with this. Somehow we got to work through this. And talk to her about it. Work to resolve the issue. And I help her to see why it irritates you. She might say, well, why does that bug you? I don't know. Well, it could be something that she didn't even understand. But talk through her with it. You know, this can be helpful. You young people that are here today, you can gain from these kind of things too. This is the way you deal with problems with your brother and sister. This is the way you ought to deal with things with mom and dad when there's irritations. You know, when there's problems. We need to talk through things. We need to work through things and talk with things with each other about these. This is the way God wants us to do it. Now, number eight, if an irritation is sinful, right? Now there's some irritations that are caused by sin. You know, it may be things like nagging. That is a sinful thing for a woman or a man, for that matter, to do. Maybe disinterest in intimacy or a sharp or unkind words or controlling attitude or a lack of showing appreciation or an unforgiving spirit or being angry or you name it. Some other thing that God says is wrong. You need to be prepared then. When you start to bring these things up, you need to be prepared with Scripture to help your spouse see what God said about this issue so that it isn't just you saying, you shouldn't be angry. Who said? Well, right here, the Scripture said. You know, and be ready in a kind and gentle way, but to show them, this is what God said about this, and this is one of the things that is bothering me, and we need to work on this because God said this. And you know, that will help if you've been prepared, you've prepared yourself, you've done your homework, you've looked up verses, you've found things that will help to support what is being done wrong. You know, and even if your spouse does not fully even care what God said about it, at least you've got God's word on it, and God's word doesn't return void. God will help you. God will strengthen you. We need to do what is right. Now, another thing that's very important at this juncture is that you need to ask her if you have done anything that has pushed her to irritate you. You know, sometimes us guys, we're pretty blind about some things, and we may do something that actually is causing her to do this. You know, maybe she's lashing out in anger at us for some reason, but we were the one that caused her to be that way. We've been pushing the button the wrong way all the time and just getting her riled up, and then she finally blows up at us, and then we say, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's not right. Well, we need to ask. And if she says, yes, you've done this and you've done this, that's why I do that, because you keep doing this. Well, then first thing, what are we supposed to do? I'm sorry. That wasn't right. I can see that. I admit that I see what you're talking about, and I'll work on that. We need to apologize right away. Humbly deal with it. We're never going to resolve an issue if we come back and just try to immediately defend ourselves. Well, I was right when I did that, and you shouldn't act like that. You know, if we defend ourselves, we're just going to end ourselves, you know, escalated into an argument. All right? That's not what we're after. We're trying to work through some things to help us get rid of bitterness, not cause family fights. All right? So we need to be willing to humble ourselves and admit it. If it's really true that we've done something that has irritated her, we need to admit that. And then, number 10, before you talk, prepare practical suggestions to help prevent the irritation from coming up again. Why? To give her hope. You know, we all need hope. You know, if you say, you need to stop doing this, it's bothering me. Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know, but just stop doing it. But I can't. But you just stop because, you know, that doesn't give them any hope. If they feel like they're trapped and they can't get out of it and they don't know what to do. But if we've thought through it and said, well, you know, if you did this or if you did that, it would help you to be able to resolve this and you'd remember to do that or you wouldn't do this. And you give them some ideas that will give them some hope. That, remember, we're trying to keep the conversation moving in the right direction in a positive way so that we can be an encouragement and a help, not a hindrance. And so have some practical suggestions prepared for those times. Number 11, if she asks for forgiveness, you need to forgive her permanently. You need to forgive permanently. You know, by permanently, I'm just talking about never bring it up again. Now, I wish it was possible for us to forgive and forget, but that's basically an impossibility, to forgive and forget. We can forgive and never bring it up again, yes. But to forgive and forget, our memories are too good at remembering the things that bother us. All right? And to say that, well, I'll never remember that again is not likely. But to say, I won't ever bring it up again, we can do that. And we need to work at that. It takes discipline. It takes effort on our part to not bring up something that has been forgiven. If your spouse comes to you and says, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? Then forgive and don't bring it up again. That is a done issue. And the next time that happens, don't say, but last time you... No, there is no last time. You forgave it and it's done. You don't bring that up again. We never say it again because it's over. And that's hard sometimes, but we have to do that. That's how we want to be treated. That's how we need to treat them. So we need to forgive permanently. And then work with her to find ways to prevent the irritation in the future. Whatever it was. You know, maybe it's, you know, just something that she's done, or maybe it's something, a sinful thing that she's struggling with. You know, find some ways to help her work through this so that we can avoid this. And maybe I need to make some changes so I don't push the wrong buttons and get things up. Irritating, well, whatever, but work through it, try to find a solution so that we can avoid it from happening again. Because if it continues to happen every other day, you're going to continue to struggle with that, and you're going to continue to have to deal with that. And so somehow we got to work to try to find a way of resolving that. So those are the 12 communication tips that I think can be of help to us. But then now let's look at another tool, and it's at the end of my list of four, but certainly not the least on the list, and that is you need to pray. You need to pray. And we need to pray that God will help us to deal with the bitterness properly. You know, give unresolved irritations to the Lord. You know, you may work through this with your spouse and not be able to resolve some of them. She may say, I don't see it your way. I don't think I did anything wrong. You just need to man up and stop being so fussy about this. And maybe she's right. But if you can't resolve it, what do? You don't let it keep brewing and boiling in your heart. We got to give it to God and say, God, I've tried. I tried talking to my spouse and she doesn't want to work through this on it, or she doesn't see it my way. She just can't get this. And we didn't get anywhere. And I don't want to cause an argument and a fight over it. It's not worth that. God, I give it to you. You've got to help me with this. I really, really need your help to overcome this. And Lord, please give me the grace I need. And so just pour your heart out to God. Ask for the peace. Ask for the grace that God can give. And pray often with your spouse if you're able about these needs. You know, if your spouse is working with you on these things and you still haven't sorted through something, just say, well, sweetheart, can we just pray about this? I know we haven't resolved this, but let's ask God to help us resolve this. Let's ask God to help us through this difficult one. And regularly pray together about that. And I hope that each of you who have a Christian spouse pray regularly with your spouse. That is very, very important. Every day you need to be praying together and asking God for each other and asking God with each other for the needs of your heart and your family. And then pray on your own that God would make you more loving, less selfish, and less irritable. Pray for yourself. You know, all of us can be irritating. And no two people can be that close together in a union of a marriage without irritating each other once in a while, because we're different people. And we need to work diligently and ask God's help to change us and to make us more loving and more selfless and more less irritable, so that we don't get irritated by these problems. We need to just ask God for help. So we've looked now at the second step in conquering bitterness, of removing the roots of bitterness from our heart. And then there's a third step that I believe is helpful for us, and that is to resolve to prevent new bitterness from occurring. Resolve to prevent new bitterness. I touched on it just slightly a moment ago, but as you look at this, how can we do that? Well, first of all, we need to work on our love. We really need to work on our love. Because Christ loves us, even though Satan, get this, Satan continually is accusing us before God. Just the other day I was reading in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10. And it's there, it's where it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's continually accusing us before God. Every time I do something wrong, Satan's right there saying, look at there, God. Look what he just did. He is a sinner. Look at the way he treated his wife. Look at the way that he did. Look at the thoughts that went through his mind. God, look at that. And God's constantly hearing that from Satan as he's accusing us. And how does God respond? God sits up in heaven and gets bitter anger. Oh, get me from the month. No. He loves us. And he never stops loving us. Does it trouble him? I'm sure it does. Does it grieve him? Yes, of course. But he never stops loving us. He just keeps on loving us. And as we think about that, with all of our sinning that we do, it must frustrate him terribly. But he still loves us. And what a picture for us to love our spouse, even when there's irritations. Love. Love. And love is not that fuzzy feeling. Love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of our spouse. Sacrificing to meet the needs of our spouse. Living with our spouse is our primary goal of pleasing, instead of pleasing ourselves. We need to work on our love, and it's not easy to love like Christ. But loving our wife like Christ will prevent bitterness most of the time. If we'll genuinely love like we're supposed to, most of the time, the bitterness won't be there. It resolves a huge portion of it. As a sinner, you will offend your spouse. But we need to learn to talk. And here's another thing that you can do. And this isn't unique with me. How many of you ever read the book Love and Respect? Love and Respect? All right, a couple of you have. You need to read that book. It'll help you. The guy's not an independent Baptist, but he's got some really good ideas presenting ways of communicating with our spouse. And in that book, one of the things that he suggests, and this isn't exactly his words, but he said, you know, the husband might say, I felt disrespected by what you just said or did. Have I done something to upset you? See, what has that done? That has done two things. He's admitted to her, what you just did upset me. It bugged me. Did I do something to get you going? Did I do something to irritate you? And if she says, yes, you did this and this and this, and that's why I'm upset and that's why I acted like I did, and now she's responding back. And so if we can stop the whole cycle from happening if we'll ask that kind of a question. Or the wife might ask, I felt unloved by what you just did or said. Have I done something that has upset you? You know, by approaching things in that manner, we're admitting we've got an issue, we've admitted that something bothered us, but we're asking, have I done something that has caused this? Am I the one that is fueling this problem? And that brings it out in the open. You can get a discussion on that and talk over it and talk through it. It's like cleaning the wound when it's freshly cut instead of waiting until it's infected. We get it taken care of right away. And it's a much better way of doing it than all through Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 is a great chapter to go through when you're having issues like this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 25, it says we're to put away all lying and speak the truth with each other. So we're to speak the truth to each other and not lie. You know, in our marriages, we need to tell the truth and be truthful. Gentle and kind and truthful with each other. That's very important in our relationships. And always keep your words and attitudes edifying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says that everything we do and say is to be edifying. What's that mean? Building up, not tearing down. You know, if we're calling them names, that's tearing them down. If we're belittling them because of their mental ability, we're tearing them down. Calling them stupid and things of that nature, it's belittling them, it's tearing them. That's not edifying. Build up. He said, let everything we do be edifying and helpful in building things up. We should never let Satan plant a seed of bitterness in our heart. You know, dealing with irritations immediately is very important. Ephesians 4:26 says that we are not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. You know, there's a lot of different ways you could look at that, but one thing for sure is he's telling us, don't let it carry on. The best thing to do is to not go to bed and sleep, not go to sleep without dealing with your problem. One person said, never go to bed angry. And that's a good way of looking at it. And that's a great principle to have in our marriage, to say, I'm never going to go to bed angry with my spouse. You know, there's been a few late nights, but better to have a late night than to go to bed angry. We need to work it through. Why? Because it's cleaning the sore while it's still fresh instead of waiting until it gets infected. We've got to deal with it. And this will help to prevent things from coming up and bitterness from coming. And then he goes on to the very next verse in verse 27, and he says that if we don't do that, what's going to happen? We're opening up the door for the devil. And the devil's going to step in and he's going to tempt us. He's going to give us more problems. There's going to be issues that come up. Why? Because we didn't deal with the problem. So we've got to do it right before the sun goes down. And then another one that's important. And fellas, we often don't do very good on this one. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Maybe you're better than me. But we need to focus on our wife's positive qualities and thank God for the wife that he gave us. It's easy to find all the negative things. If you weren't like this and this and this and this, I'd be a whole lot happier. But instead, we need to say, God, thank you for the wife I got. Thank you for her. She's a good cook. She takes care of me. She keeps my clothes clean. She's a good housekeeper. She's a great mother. Whatever the qualities may be, thank God for the wife that God has given you. Don't focus on her faults. Don't focus on her weaknesses. Focus on the good things. And it'll help us to keep our hearts and minds on the right things and praising our wife and encouraging our wife. I was just listening to an audio book this week challenging me as a man and a husband to be what I ought to be. And one of the things that the author brought up was that we need to be encouragers. And I know that's one of my biggest faults. I'm not a very good encourager. I can find problems and pick on issues, but I'm not very good at encouraging. And I look back over when we were raising our three boys, and I know there's a lot of times that I should have encouraged them more than I did. Say, you did a good job, guys. Great. That's good. And I love you and I appreciate you and you're doing well. And I didn't do that as much as I should have. But that's one thing we need to do in our marriages as well. We need to thank our wife and praise our wife and our husband, whatever the case may be. And that can be a great help and encouragement in our home. Then we need to work, and this one's hard too, we need to work at changing ourselves instead of our spouse. So many times we think, the problem is not me, it's her. But truly, if we deal with ourselves, many of the times it'll fix a lot of the problems with her. And there's always two sides to every issue. And instead of saying, God, would you please fix that woman you gave me? She's giving me grief. We need to be praying, God, would you please work in my heart and change me and help me? Help me to be more loving. Help me to be more kind. Help me to be more gentle. Help me to be more understanding. Help me to be more patient. God, work in me. Fix me. I'm a lot of the problem. Fix me, Lord. That would go a long ways to preventing issues coming up if we just really pray for ourselves instead of praying against our wife or our spouse, whatever the case may be. Another thing that we can do that can be of help to us is to determine, with God's help, to act instead of react. What do I mean by that? Well, when your spouse does something that irritates you, you need to act biblically instead of reacting carnally or sinfully. You cannot trust your feelings and emotions. That's an important one for us to understand. Over in the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes in Proverbs 28, verse 26, he says, he that trusteth his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he should be delivered. He said, if you trust your own heart, you're a fool. Now that's pretty harsh words from God. But we trust our heart and we say, but I think it's this way and I feel this way and I feel like I'm right. God says, you can't trust your heart. You've got to base all your choices and decisions on the Word of God. And I do as well. Because if we trust our heart and our feelings and our heart many times will lead us the wrong direction. We need to act biblically instead of reacting sinfully. If you did not act biblically, what does God say about that? What does James 4:17 say? Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. If we know to do good and we don't do it, we sinned. And a lot of times we think, but I didn't do hardly anything. It was just God said, if you know what's right and you don't do what's right, you've sinned. And if we've sinned, what are we supposed to do about it? Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God tells us clearly, if we've sinned, we need to confess it and forsake it, and we'll receive His mercy. And how does God say that we are to respond to those who hurt us? Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He said, we're to forgive. And if we don't forgive, God's not going to forgive us. And that is pretty harsh. We think, wow, that's not a little thing. If God says, I will not forgive you if you don't forgive others. And certainly that has to start with our spouse. That ought to be at the top of the list, our closest friend. We need to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We need to forgive like Christ. Then how should you prepare to act instead of reacting? How can we prepare? What can we do to help ourselves make sure that we act biblically instead of reacting sinfully? Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you know Christ is your Savior, the Spirit of God lives in you. You live in the Spirit. But now you need to walk in the Spirit. That means we need to let Him take control of our life. every moment of our life, every day of our life. God, you take control. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. You know, if there's something between you and God, something you're doing you know God doesn't like, doesn't approve of, you cannot say there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. And you are not walking in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit if you're grieving God at the same time. And so we need to get rid of the things that are grieving God and beg God to draw us close to Him and bring ourselves close to God. He says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And ask God to cleanse our hearts and stay close to Him and let Him fill us with His Spirit. And we need to ask God regularly for grace, that divine enabling, to do the things we're supposed to do. It's not easy. And when God gave us this command, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, He knew that that was a problem. That's why He put it in the Scriptures. He could have put anything else in there, but He said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Why? Because He knows that men struggle with bitterness. And they're the head of the home, even though their wife struggles with bitterness as well. If the husband would deal with his bitterness, much of our wife's bitterness wouldn't be there because we were doing... we're doing the right thing and treating her kindly and treating her right, and her bitterness wouldn't be so likely to come about. So we are the leader, and it's tough to be the leader, but we've got to be the leader. We've got to lead in the right way in our home. You and your wife are both selfish sinners. And selfish sinners need God's grace to deal with these irritations that come up in our marriage. If we're going to have a peaceable marriage, we need God's grace. We need His help. If your spouse is a Christian, as I've already said before, you need to pray together daily. Daily. Pray for harmony. If you're having struggle with harmony, you need to pray every day together, saying, God, help us to be more in harmony and not to pick on each other's issues and not to irritate each other. And just pray openly with God. Be transparent. God knows your situation. God knows your spouse. God knows all about you, so why not just talk to Him transparently instead of trying to deceive Him or make it sound flowery? We need to just tell it like it is. God, this is our problem. We need help. And beg God for help. So, as we look at this big issue of bitter-free love, that's what God wants for every one of us. He wants you to have bitter-free love. He wants me to have bitter-free love in my marriage. And it's not impossible. God wants it to be there. He never commands us to do something that is impossible to do. Remember that. It may seem hard. It may seem challenging. It may seem difficult. It may take a lot of work. But it's not impossible. Because God doesn't ask us to do something that we cannot do. And that is such a blessing. God is always there to help us, to give us grace. You can uproot those bitterness roots in your life. You can. With God's help, you can. And if you are bitter, you will ask God to help you and follow the steps that we've outlined in these three messages. God can help you to get the bitterness out of your heart and to rejuvenate your marriage. He can. He can. And He will, if you'll let Him. Do not ignore bitterness. Do not ignore bitterness. It's not going to go away, and it's not going to help your family and your marriage. One thing that's very humbling and humiliating sometimes, but sometimes important. If you work through it and you're not making progress and you just can't get it resolved, then come see me. Nobody likes to admit to somebody else that we've got problems. But you know what often happens? The couple says nothing. And they just, inside, they're tormenting each other. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Remember the balloon I illustrated with before? And you keep blowing into the balloon. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the balloon's just about ready to burst. And what they really need is they need to go talk to their pastor and say, Pastor, would you help us work through this? We're not making progress. But instead, they just keep blowing in the balloon and all of a sudden, boom, it blows up. And say, oh, what happened to that marriage? Wow, I didn't know there was anything wrong. They looked like a happy couple. And now look what happened. Don't do that. Don't do that. Seek help. Don't let it blow up. Don't wait until it's about ready to blow up. It's a whole lot easier to resolve the problem when it's still small. But seek help if you need help. I'll do what I can to help you.